We have a familiar gospel today, the feeding of the 5,000 from the five loaves and two fish. There's a lot to wonder at in this reading, but one of the things I was wondering about was what did that look like? 5,000 people all in a field, and the logistics for getting all this food out to these people. And as I was kind of trying to imagine it, I realized I've been to a mass with 5,000 people. The annual Steubenville Conference. I'm curious, any show of hands, who's heard of the Steubenville Conference? Okay, good number. If you haven't, it's a youth conference. Our kids went a couple weeks ago. It's down in Springfield, Missouri. And there's 5,000 folks who converge, high school kids who converge on Springfield and have this youth conference. And so they pack the arena down at Missouri State for mass. And one of my good friends, he's in charge of the logistics for mass. So it's a big to-do. You got to get all these people down on the floor, in the bowl, in the upper bowl. Everybody's got to get through, and nobody likes communion to take a long time, right? So he's always stressed out, like, we got to get all these people through. And his goal is always to shorten the amount of time we have communion. So funny story, as a priest, you're part of distributing, right? And so you receive communion, and then you get ushered up into the concourse, and they've got all these, you got to think about, like, you got to have thousands of hosts, so they're already consecrated Eucharistic hosts, all ready to go on, like, a little cart, that then they start handing you your ciborium, the dish that holds the body of Christ, and then they tell you where to go. Well, these sections are divided by letters, right? So you got the A section, B section, and then when you're in the bowl, it's AA, BB, CC, and that's how you know where to go. So my friend he's given out the ciborium with the body of Christ in it, telling us where to go. And I hear the guys in front of me, MM, he hands it to him, NN, he hands it to him, OO, he hands it to him, and then it's my turn, and my friend looks at me deadpan, PP. And I just, like, lost it. And I'm sorry, Jesus, I'm, like, holding the body of Christ, like, cracking up. But there's a little liturgical humor for you. Reverence can be fun, too. So just as I imagine that, though, like, what is it like giving communion to 5,000 people? The readings today are an opportunity for us to reflect on, how's my relationship to communion, to the Eucharist? Because let's face it, we Catholics, we love our routine, we love our ritual, but the pitfall for that is we start going through the motions, right? And so it's good every now and again to do a check-in. How's my heart in giving myself to the Eucharist? You know, one of the most beautiful things I get to do as a priest is visit people on their deathbed and shepherd them into eternity. And a few years ago, I had one of the most beautiful home visits for somebody who was preparing for that final pilgrimage. And it was a home of a couple in my parish who were married 60 years. And I walked in, and it was mid-November, and the husband was on hospice. And if you've experienced that in your own family, they had the hospice bed there in their family room. And it was a chilly November day. And I remember walking in, and the wife, she had set up, I don't know if you're familiar with these sick call crosses. There's a little cross, and on the inside you have candles, and she had it set up on his bedside. And these are crosses that a lot of folks will receive as a wedding gift, and then you keep it on your wall in your home your whole life. So they had this cross, this set that had been kept in their home their whole life, and beautifully she thought to pull it out, set up the cross, set up the candles, and they were lit right next to his bedside. And these two folks, it was just me and this husband and wife, sat and prayed, and the wife on the other side of the bed, me on this side of the bed, and the entire family room. It wasn't even Advent yet, but they had decorated for Christmas. beautifully to celebrate together. And in the middle of the anointing, Sue is standing there holding the crucifix in front of her, just staring with such love at her husband. And in the middle of it, snow just gently starts falling outside the windows. Hand-carved nativity scene on the fireplace. And there we were together before the Lord, and he's receiving one of his final communions. And just the smiles on both of their faces as I left that day has always been impressed upon my mind. That the two of them, there was no fear, there was no avoidance of the reality, but an embrace. And that was all thanks in part due to that simple white Eucharistic host, this little piece of bread which become the body of Christ, that they got to receive together. In light of that, I just ask you, what's your relationship to communion like right now? So if we need to reignite the fire, that's okay. I'll just give you three tips for re-engaging with the gift of the Eucharist. First, prepare your soul each time by seeking mercy. Mercy is that first tip. The desire for forgiveness is woven all through the prayers of the Mass. Think about it. We start Mass, "Dear brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins," right? In the Gloria, we pray, "You take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us." The prayer at the altar, the Eucharistic prayer begins, "To you, therefore, most merciful Father." During the beautiful prayers after the consecration, the priest prays, "Look not on our sins. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us." You hear it. It's woven all through the Mass. When we receive the Eucharist, first having humbly acknowledged our need for God's mercy, we give room for him to fill us with his love. And sometimes this means for us seeking his mercy in the sacrament of confession. It's one of the most beautiful ways to prepare for communion. So first, seek mercy. Number two, study or learn something. You know, when I was ordained a priest, and in every ordination rite, there's a beautiful moment when the bishop takes the paten, the gold plate that the host goes on, and the chalice, and you're kneeling before the bishop. I'm kneeling before the bishop, and he hands these two instruments to you, and you touch them, and you're holding them together, and the bishop says to you, "Understand what you do, imitate what you celebrate, and conform your life to the mystery of the Lord's cross." To give our life to Jesus on the cross, to share in that radical sacrifice, it begins with understand what you do. So one of the best ways to grow our devotion to Jesus at Mass is to learn what's happening, to go deeper in our knowledge of it. Love of God and knowledge of God are not the same thing. Love of God is immeasurably more important than knowledge of God. But every new thing you learn about God can become a new reason for loving him. So spend some time learning, going deeper in your faith each week, each day, to grow that love of the Eucharist. Number three is reverence. don't come up to communion looking like a bum, all right? And that means, yeah, in your attire for sure, you know, dress appropriately for Mass, but also in your posture, you know, don't be looking around, don't be waving at the person next to you. This is you and Jesus. This is the closest moment you're going to have with him in your entire week. Let's look like that. And yeah, everybody's welcome. Everybody's invited to the banquet. But to those of us who understand, we want to try and give God our best when we approach him. And so stay focused when you're in the communion line. Bow with reverence, with devotion. If you're receiving on the hand, make a throne for God. Don't be haphazard about it. If you're receiving on the tongue, reverently let the Eucharist be placed on your tongue. Above all that exterior reverence is meant to form an interior reverence. You know, a lot of times, I don't know if you guys experience this at all, sometimes you can see other people doing things devotionally at church and kind of be like, why are they doing that? That's kind of weird, you know? And a lot of times I think that comes from our experiences where maybe we see somebody who's got the exterior reverence, but they're not letting their heart be transformed, right? Body and soul were called to turn to the Lord, to give to him. That interior reverence, that deep respect and love for the Eucharist. That's what this man had on his deathbed that made that sacred moment so special. He wasn't going through the motions or checking a box or obeying out of fearful anxiety for his soul. No. He was receiving one last communion from the God who loves him. Bread for the journey. And he was able to do so because he had lived this journey through life with a lifetime of simple, loving devotion. Receiving communion week in, week out, with deep love, deep faith. As you journey through this life, keep your eyes on the goal, your true home in heaven. One last gift, it's been a gift to me. There's a prayer sometimes that hangs on the wall in the sacristies before Mass the priest looks at, and it says, "Priest of God, say this Mass as if it were your first Mass, as if it were your last Mass, as if it were your only Mass." I've often thought that same instruction should be given to every Catholic faithful. Son of God, daughter of God, receive communion today as if it were your first communion, as if it were your last communion, as if it were your only communion.